Jesus loves you. Yes. Jesus loves you. Yes. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's wonderful to be loved by the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the joy of the journey. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you again, Father, for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Lord, because of you, we live, move, and have our being. Because of you, Father, we are sane and strengthened. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We give you praise in advance for what you are about to do. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we stand as a canvas before a painter. We stand, Father, as a horse or an animal before a trough. We stand in anticipating of you, Father, giving us what we need. You are the giver and we are the receiver of your good and perfect gifts. Lord, again, we pray and ask that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Again, Father, we ask that your word come as the rain and snow come from heaven. Water at the earth to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We ask that your word come, Father, and accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. For you are able to break through because you are the God of the breakthrough. And Lord, we need a breakthrough. We thank you, Father, for not only sustaining us, but blessing us beyond measure, individually and collectively. For Lord, you're good. You're good all the time. And we thank you. Now, Father, give us connection. Pulpit and pew. Pulpit with the virtual audience. Lord, make us one that your word be not distorted, but be believed that your son Jesus has come. He has sacrificed his life. He died and he was buried and he was raised the third day by you and you alone, Father. I pray that that message go out from this place into the hedges and highways and save lost souls and reclaim backsliders. I pray that the message of your son will be the premise of our preaching and our teaching. And Father, we know you'll do it because that's why you gathered us together. So, Lord, unto you we give the glory, the praise, and the thanks. In every heart say amen. Psalm 107. Oh, how good it is for us to be in the house of the Lord once again. The Lord has blessed us beyond enumeration, beyond our deservance, and certainly it's good to be here. It's good to be alive. It's good to be active. Amen. How many of you know you're blessed? Amen. I will not have to convince you. For the word of the Lord says you ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Don't be grudgeful, but be thankful unto God. Amen. Be thankful. That's our theme this month, as you are turning in your Bibles. This month we'll talk about cultivating a thankful heart. Cultivating a thankful heart. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Look at someone, if you will, and say, give thanks unto the Lord. Look at someone else, if you will, and say, give thanks unto the Lord. Come on, help me convince the virtual audience by saying, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Give thanks unto the Lord. Cultivating a thankful heart. To cultivate means to develop, to nurture. To develop or nurture a thankful heart. It should not be hard for us to be convinced of the goodness of God. It shouldn't be hard for us to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Psalms 107 is classified as a community hymn of praise. It is likely that the worshipers at the festival at the Temple of Jerusalem offered this psalm as they reflected on goodness of God and his care for their needs. Despite the transgressions, the Lord forgave and delivered Israel. As they lifted up their voices in worship, they felt the joyful blessings of the Lord. The same happens today when we sing songs, read scripture, pray prayers, and hear the word of God. When we come together as a people of God, we are reminded of the goodness of the Lord. Look to your left, look to your right. You see goodness. Look up here at me, if you will. You see goodness. Look behind you, if you will. You see goodness. When we come together, we are reminded of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. 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 Not was good, but the Lord is good. And the saints should make known to humankind the goodness of the Lord. Notice Psalms 107. There are three things in verses 1 through 3 that helps us cultivate a thankful heart. First of all, the psalmist tells us to whom to give thanks. Verse 1, he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The psalmist gives thanks thanks. The word thanks is yada in Hebrew, which means to hold out the hands, to revere or worship. Yada means to throw or praise, shout, and give thanksgiving. So at the same time, it's to hold out the hands and to throw at God praises unto God. When was the last time you threw a praise at God? When was the last time you came into the house of God with lifted hands, with reverent worship, with mouth and with the mouth open to throw praises at God? Notice the psalmist is serious in exaltation. The interjection of the word "oh." He says, "Oh, give thanks." "Oh" intensifies the exaltation. In other words, the psalmist says, let us be at all times thoroughly fervent in giving praise unto God. Be fervent in holding out your hands in worship. Be fervent in the elevation of your voice in praise unto God. Not only did the psalmist tell Israel to praise, but he also gives aim to the praise of Israel. He says, give thanks unto the Lord. The Lord only is worthy of all praise. Thanksgiving is what we can give unto the Lord. And the least we can give unto the Lord. He says, let us be diligent in rendering unto the Lord our thanksgiving. There's need to be passion in your praise unto God. Shouldn't have to pump and prime you. Shouldn't have to convince you. You ought to be trigger ready when you come into the house of the Lord. At the mere mentioning of his name, you ought to praise him. He says, give thanks unto the Lord. The psalmist tells us to give thanks unto the Lord. Lord, 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 the name Lord is Jehovah. Jehovah expresses the self-existent or eternal being of God. God is completely self-sufficient, having within himself sufficient reason for his own existence. In other words, God does not need anything or anyone to be God. God is God all by himself. Y'all help me preach it. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, God doesn't need anything or anyone to be God. God is God all by himself. Some of you still looking at me. You can't be looking at somebody. You got to look at somebody and tell them, God doesn't need anyone or anything to be God. God is God all by himself. We need God. We need God. We can exist without God, but God can exist without us. He is self-existent. God is not only self-existent, but God is eternal, which means that God has no expiration date. The psalmist in Psalms 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He didn't say from time to time you are God, but from everlasting to everlasting you are God. Time has no variance on God. God is eternal. He has no birth date, therefore he has no death date. God has and God will always exist. He is eternal. When you think of God, you got to deal with the eternality of God. He says, praise God who is self-existent and eternal. Jehovah. He's Jehovah. In other words, when we come together as a people of God, the focus of our praise should be God. But for some reason or another, we praise people more than we praise God. You know, we overlook the praises or the blessings of God, and therefore we don't praise God as we should. We come to church. We come into the house of God and sit as if God has not done anything for us. But the psalmist says that we need to cultivate a thankful heart by first of all noticing to whom to give thanks. You need to know who God is. He says God is self-existent and God is eternal. But here it is. Not only does he tell us who to praise, he tells us why to give thanks. He says the Lord is good. That's deep, isn't it? The Lord is good. The word good refers to that which is beautiful, best, fine, kind, lovely, and sweet. The goodness of the Lord represents the perfection of his nature. God is good all the time. God is originally good, which means he's good of himself. God is essentially good, which means goodness itself. God is infinitely good. God's goodness is without measure. He cannot be anything less than good. His judgment is good. His law is good. His forgiveness is good. His love is good. His peace is good. His joy is good. His grace is good. His deliverance is good. His chastisement is good. His care for us is good. Every facet about God, his forgiveness is good. God's power is good. What God done for us this morning and what God is doing for us right now is good. God is good. And he exercises his goodness toward all his creation. When he stepped out on nothing and he called everything into existence, he stepped back and looked at his own work and said, it's good. That's how good God is. He tells us to praise him because he's good. But not only because he's good, but he says, praise him because his mercy endures forever. Mercy can be defined as compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender and an enemy or other person in one's power or kindness in exercise in excess of what may be expected or demanded by fairness. The psalmist uses the word hesed, which can also be translated as love or grace. Hesed love refers to God's love toward us all the time, regardless of our disposition or temperament toward him. The best example I can give of hesed love is in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, wherein Paul said, for God commends his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not like some of us. We try to wait to show love because our love is given by condition. We're not like God. God, he unconditionally loves us. He doesn't wait until you get out of the sin. He doesn't wait until you get out of the transgression. He doesn't wait until you get out of the iniquity. He doesn't wait until you get out of the mess you're in. Matter of fact, his love is a rescue agent. He will reach way down in the midst of what you are in and pick you up and turn you around. Somebody here ought to be a witness. You ought to be glad this morning that God didn't wait because you couldn't get yourself out of, but only God by his love could get you out of the mess you were in. Aren't you glad that he reached way down? This hesed love is the love of God that he gives toward an offender, an enemy. Paul, he reveals the fact that we were enemies of God in that we acted against God. We were sinners. He made us saints. He changed our lives around. He expresses the love toward us regardless of our disposition and temperament toward Him. Think about it. Some of us came this morning with bad attitudes. Some of us came this morning saying, I don't care what's said, I'm not going to give God praise. Some of us came this morning with a made up mind that it don't take all of that for worship. It don't take all of that to praise God. But listen, when you look back over the landscape of your life and you see where God has brought you from, it takes that and more to bless the name of the Lord. Listen, who are you to say what it takes to praise God? God knows what He wants from you, and you ought to be willing to give it to Him when you come into the house of the Lord. Let me remind you again of what the scripture says. He says you ought to come into the courts with praise and be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. He didn't raise you up off that sick bed for you to sit as if He hadn't done anything for you. He didn't bring you through that terrible divorce for you to sit as if God hadn't done anything from you. He didn't deliver your children out of that trouble for you to sit here as if God has done nothing for you. He didn't keep you in your right mind. You have been through enough already to be crazy 5 times, if not 6. He didn't do that for you to come into the house of the Lord and act as if He has done nothing for you. Let me try it again. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I can't hear you. The Lord, He is good. Let me see some people that knows the goodness of the Lord. I want to give you a few seconds so that you can have a praise break. Listen, the Lord is good. He has given unto you hesed. Love. A love that never ends. A love that never runs out. A love that lasts forever. An enduring, unending love of God. He has given that to us. He says the mercies of the Lord endures forever. This is not the only place, because in Psalm 136, the refrain is, for His mercy endures forever. And it is used 26 times in Psalms 136. Lamentation, that passage we love to quote in Lamentation 3, verses 22 and 23. The God's mercy endures forever, that His mercy never comes to an end. There are new mercies every day. Morning. This hesed love. Suppose for a minute, if you will, Lamentation said, the wrath of God endures forever. Every morning, new is the wrath of God. That would be pretty bleak. Think about it. If all God did is pour out His wrath on us, but instead God is loving us to life. Oh my. And every morning He gives us hesed love. Oh, He says we ought to give Him love because we ought to give Him praise because He's good. Because His mercy endures forever. Who should praise Him? And I'm done. Right in verse 2. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, if you hadn't been redeemed, you got a right to sit there quiet. But if God has brought you out, the text says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't care what kind of degree you have. I don't care what school you matriculated at. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. If you're the redeemed, you ain't got a right to sit there and say nothing. The Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say, which means you ought to open your mouth and make a noise unto the Lord. Oh, I got to quit. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he had redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. We are all in the hand of the enemy. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he sent his only behaved and begotten son. Thank God that he interrupted our going, because we were on our way to a devil's hell, but the Lord stopped us in our tracks and he turned us around and said, head in a new direction, head in a direction of life, head in a direction of blessings, head in a direction of joy, head in a direction of peace, head in the Lord's direction. Somebody here this morning ought to thank God for Jesus, because Jesus had to come down so we could go up. He came down through 42 generations. He landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem. He walked the dusty streets of Galilee. He fed the hungry and he raised the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf. But that's not the reason he came. He came to go to a hill called Calvary because he had some redemptive work. Is there anybody here? Thank God for redemption. He went and paid the price on Calvary's mountain, where he gave his hands to the nails and his feet to the spike. He gave his spirit to his Father, his back to the cross, and his body to the grave. He died out on Calvary cross. But I thank God that's not the end of the story. You ought to high five somebody and say, thank God he didn't say dead, because early Sunday morning he got out of the grave with all power in his hand. Power to heal your body. Power to save your soul. Power to regulate your mind. Power to handle your enemies. Power to defeat death and the grave. He got up with all power in his hand. If you know he's alright, you ought to stand on your feet and help me close this sermon union style. Look at somebody and say, he's alright with me because he died for me. He's alright with me because he got up for me. He's alright with me because he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Let me ask him my question, and I'm going to my seat. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say, yeah, he's alright. Yeah, he's alright. Yeah, he's alright. Yeah, I need to hear you say, yeah.
Redeemed.
finish. He redeemed Israel from bondage, from captivity in Babylon. But there's a greater redemption than that. It's the redemption of our souls. Thank God for deliverance. Listen, if you're going to cultivate a thankful heart, think about the Lord. He's Jehovah. He's self-existent. And he's eternal. If you're going to cultivate a thankful heart, know he's good. And his mercy endures forever. His love never runs out for us. He loves us in life. He loves us during death. And he loves us after death. No expiration date. He loves us always, at all times. You've been redeemed. You may not have money, a lot of clothing, and a big house on the hill, but you have the most precious thing, and that's a saved soul. Listen to this. We spend so much time trying to acquire all of this stuff, but you're going to die from this. I don't care what your address is. One day you're going to die from it. I don't care how many clothing you have in your closet. There's only one suit or one dress that's going to go in the grave with you. And I thank God that's as far as it goes, because I got a white robe waiting for me on high. You're going to die from this. Spending all of your time accumulating wealth and riches. You're going to die from this. But you'll never die from the love of God. He said his mercy endures forever. You've been bought. He has paid the price for you. Out on Calvary. That's why every Sunday we close with the cross. Where I'm from, the old preacher would say, you hadn't preached if you don't go by the cross. Every Sunday, go by the cross, because that's the redemptive story where Jesus paid the price to save us. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stand ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. How to do it? Just simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for your sin. He was buried and God raised him from the dead. Confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. The Bible says thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here and you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart, come, come, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden and you need to be restored, come. Don't you live out of fellowship with God. I didn't say relationship, I said fellowship. Don't you live out of fellowship with God. You need God near you. close to you. Listen, this period of life is too problematic. God bless you. You need God near you, and you need to be near God. Trouble on every hand. If it's not happening to you, it's happening around you. Or it's happening in the life of somebody you know. You don't need to be distant from God. You need to be near God and have God near you. Trouble everywhere. Trouble in your home. Trouble on your job. Personal trouble. Inner struggles. Mind loaded with worry and stress. Don't you live out of fellowship with God. Live near God. Come. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come. Come. I'm so glad. Come on, come on. Say it, say it. Listen to that. That ought to put a smile on your face. You can personalize it.
Jesus.
Come on, the doors.
Jesus.
The doors. Christian experience, Sister Jennifer Hawkins. That means that you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and you want to be a member of this church by Christian. Amen. Want to rededicate your life. All right. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then little Emmanuel come as candidate for baptism. Amen. 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 Is there anything you want to say?
When I was listening to you, you know my name. That's what made me want to dedicate my life.
Father, we thank you for Sister Hawkins. Lord, the ministry of your word through song. Lord, through preaching that is able to break through to the heart of this young lady. Lord, to bring her to a point of repentance, to give her life to you again. Lord, she want to be close to you. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit that you have drawn her unto us. Now, Father, we pray that we be responsible for this soul, Lord, in teaching and preaching and developing and maturing, Lord, her along the way. Lord, I pray that she, Lord, give herself completely to you. Lord, give herself to the activities and ministries of the church. Lord, that she'll grow and we'll grow with her in your name for your glory. Lord, forgive of sins and cleanse her from all unrighteousness. Be with her now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You come as a candidate for baptism. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary?
Yeah.
Amen. Do you believe he lives?
I think so.
Amen. Do you believe he lives in your heart?
Yep.
Amen. The Bible says if you can confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. I want you to say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life.
That's right. Jesus Christ is Lord of my heart.
Father, we thank and praise you. We give this young soul to you, Father, to be saved. We pray that you be with him, Lord, this day and the rest of his life, Lord, in a salvific way. Lord, forgive him of his sins and cleanse him of all of his shortcomings and unrighteousness, and make him more and more like your son each and every day. Lord, for your glory and his good, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give her your information. Give your information to our sister. Amen. And we'll communicate. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord here. Have a couplet. This is Agape Feast Communion time. His death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus and his disciples went up into the upper room to eat the Passover meal together. While they were together, Jesus took bread, lifted, and blessed it. He then broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." After they supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament, the New Covenant, in my blood, which is shed for you. Take, drink." Father, we thank you today for all that you have done in this place. How you have saved the soul and have brought one in, Father. We pray and ask you, Lord, to continue to favor us as your people, as we're trying to do it for your glory. Lord, we pray and ask your grace and mercy to be upon us as we travel from this place. Lord, we pray and ask that you give us rest and relaxation when we make it to our homes, to our places of stay. Lord, if it's your will, Lord, shake us and wake us in the morning, and we'll be so careful to give your name all the praise and glory. Now, Father, as we depart from this place, but never your divine presence, give us, Lord, your love. Give us, Lord, your spirit, the communion of your Holy Spirit. Give us your peace. Give us your joy, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. In every heart, say amen.
Jesus.